Welcome. We're delighted to have you here this afternoon. My name is John Hamry. I'm the president of CSIS, and it's a great, great honor to have President Kikwete here. He's well known in Washington. He's well known as one of the statesman leaders that that Africa needs and America needs. And we're so proud to have an opportunity this afternoon that we are allowed to bring him to the policy community. And so I just want to say a sincere thank you. This was made possible really because of the very good offices of Daniel Yohannes, who's doing such a fabulous job at the Millennium Challenge Corporation. We're so grateful for his leadership at this hour, and the fact that our partnership with him lets us have opportunities like this.
I think that very much.
CSIS has launched a new project where we are trying to make the words development a positive thing in America. I mean, there's an awful lot of people right now that says development is something that we can't afford because we're in a recession. And I'd say that's the worst way to think about the world you can imagine. When you think about the opportunities we have at this time to make impact, this is the best way for us to be looking forward, and especially as a partnership between the public and private sectors. And of course, that's what Millennium Challenge Corporation has done so powerfully. So it's a wonderful thing, and we're grateful to have all of you here. I'm going to turn to Jennifer Cook. She is the chair of our Africa program here. Jennifer, please come up and formally get this started. But I want to say thank you all for coming. We're delighted you're here.
Thank you, Dr. Hamry, and welcome to you all, or Karibuni. I'd like to echo Dr. Hamry in saying what a pleasure it is to have you here today, and for CSIS to host an event, particularly with such a broad audience on Tanzania. There's a tendency here in Washington, and we're guilty of it as well, to focus on crises, impending crises, crises in full swing, crises that might happen over the horizon. And for that reason, I think countries like Tanzania don't get the kind of policy and public attention and focus that they warrant here in Washington. So I'm very grateful to President Kikwete, to Mr. Yohannes, and to my colleague Dan Rundy for giving us this opportunity. Today's event is titled Tanzania, a Country Transformed. I think President Kikwete would agree that this is a country that is in a transformation that's still very much underway. Tanzania has enjoyed political stability in a very volatile neighborhood since its independence. The leadership has taken on very important and really transformative economic reforms in the last decade, and as a result, the country has seen sustained growth in the last 10 years and projected growth of averaged 7% in the coming years. I think more and more U.S. companies, as they look out over the African landscape, are looking at Tanzania. It's definitely growing out of the shadow of neighboring Kenya in that regard. The East African community, of which Tanzania is an important member, is transforming and deepening its integration. I think there's opportunities for transformation there as well. And you have now major oil and gas discoveries in Tanzania, which have huge potential. They come with challenges as well, of course, and we may hear a little bit about that today. But there are big challenges remaining as well. Limited access to power, infrastructure constraints, continuing high levels of poverty, inflation, and really I think of major importance is the challenge of ensuring that growth is accompanied by the expansion of job opportunities. And this is a challenge that many African countries face. And these are the challenges that Tanzania faces. The country is working hard at tackling these. And the U.S.-Tanzanian partnership has been a really strong and very positive one. Tanzania is a partner in the U.S. PEPFAR initiative, in the President's Malaria initiative. It's a pilot country in the Partnership for Growth that was launched by the Obama administration. And of course, it's a very significant partner to the Millennium Challenge Corporation. MCC signed a compact with Tanzania in 2008, the largest that it had signed to date. And the Tanzanian leadership really has taken a very proactive and kind of forceful role in kind of driving that partnership and maximizing the benefits of the partnership. So I'm going to turn to Daniel Yohannes to talk about what's made that partnership a success and to introduce the president. You have Mr. Yohannes' bio in front of you, so I won't go into detail, but as Dr. Hamry said, he's leading the MCC at an extremely important time. The institution is coming to maturity. We're thinking about development in new and different ways. It's a good moment to reflect on the impact the MCC has had, the progress that it's made, and charting the way forward. So with that, I will turn over to Mr. Yohannes, and thank you all once again. Mr. Yohannes.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is a great privilege to be with all of you, particularly our esteemed guests from the great country of Tanzania, President Kikwete. I'd like to thank President Hamry for his outstanding leadership and CSIS for creating a unique space for strategic thinking and policy solutions that define the challenges of our times. And I want to applaud Jennifer Cook for her leadership of the Africa Program. President Kikwete and Tanzania represent the future of Africa, a continent on the move toward greater prosperity and opportunity. As we prepare to mark Africa Day next week, it is fitting that we should celebrate the principles and progress that unite Africans today. The headlines more and more talk about what is right in Africa. We see countries achieving rapid growth. We know that 7 of the world's 10 fastest growing economies are in sub-Saharan Africa. Economic forecasts suggest that the average African economy will outpace its Asian counterpart. We see countries working toward good governance and the rule of law, while recent events in Mali and Guinea-Bissau deeply trouble us. Zambia, Niger, Senegal, and Malawi remind us that across the continent, democracy has taken root and is growing. And Africa now has 2 female presidents, something my own country has yet to achieve. And we see African countries committed to replacing development assistance with investment generated by private enterprise. Africa is a pro-growth market, and foreign direct investment is about $80 billion now and expected to reach $150 billion by 2015. Africa's moment is now. The Millennium Challenge Corporation understands this reality. The vast majority of our worldwide investments are with African partner countries. When MCC was founded 8 years ago, some doubted that many African countries would qualify for our program. Africa has proven them wrong. In fact, I just got back from Zambia last Sunday after signing a $355 million compact to help that country become water secure. With the addition of Zambia, we now have 14 African partner countries, and we are putting approximately $6 billion, more than two-thirds of our portfolio, toward their homegrown solutions for long-term growth and poverty reduction. Tanzania, too, is an MCC partner country, as was suggested by Dr. Cook. It is where we have made our largest investment in sub-Saharan Africa. I had the opportunity to visit Tanzania 2 years ago, and I could tell you that they're doing a marvelous job in getting the compact done. And guess what? Under the leadership of President Kikwete, he's been fantastic. He's been instrumental by providing leadership and support for the success of the Tanzania project. He knows every single detail of the compact. And we share the same principles when it comes to our partnership. Our partnership is about country-driven program designed by and for the people of Tanzania to reduce poverty and promote sustainable economic growth. It is about making the tough and necessary policy reforms that assure long-term sustainability. It is about creating an environment where the private sector can thrive as the engine of growth. It is about being transparent about what is and is not working to deliver the result both Tanzanians and Americans expect from this investment. I am extremely proud of MCC's partnership with Tanzania. It stands as a pillar in the strong bilateral ties between the United States and Tanzania. It stands as an example of Africa on the move toward a better, brighter future of prosperity. As the first African president to be received by President Barack Obama at the White House in May of 2009, I'm honored now to once again welcome back to Washington Tanzania's visionary leader. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming President Jakaya Kikwete to the podium. Mr. President. Thank you very much for coming, okay? God bless you.
Well, thank you, Johannes, and thank you, dear friends. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak at this distinguished institution. Well, I don't know how the structure is going to be.
Keep it short, and then we'll have a dialogue.
Okay. Well, in fact, there are two things that from what I understand. I've been asked to share thoughts about how Tanzania has become a success story and about how outside assistance has helped in contributing to the growth of our country. Well, what I can simply say that the answer I can say to that question is we have succeeded because we have put in place sound political and economic policies, and we have been resolute in pursuing the implementation of those policies. When I took the decision to seek for the presidency of our country, and after being nominated, I developed a vision for our country. And on the political side, the first thing that I found to be important for me is holding the country together. You know, Tanzania is unique, is a land of diversity. One, we are a country that has been created in 1964 from the merger of two independent and sovereign states, the People's Republic of Zanzibar and the Republic of Tanganyika. We've been a union for 48 years. There are stresses and strains in the union. So holding the country with that first diversity is itself a challenge of its own, because you don't want to be the president who did the overseeing the breakup of that country. So this has been the number one challenge in terms of holding the country together. So We have a joint committee between the government of Zanzibar and the Union government. We meet regularly to discuss issues of the cooperation between the two countries. There have been a host of issues. What I discovered is that committee has not been meeting regularly. That I gave instructions that committee has to meet. Even if they don't have anything, let them come there, sit together and say, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Do you have anything today? Nothing. Everything is fine? Okay, drink a cup of coffee, disperse. So this committee has worked very well. I think we've been able to sort out many of the outstanding issues. Of course, we still have very few left. Some of them look teethy, but there are ways of resolving them. And we have embarked on a constitutional review now. Some of those questions that need clauses in the Constitution to be inserted, we will definitely do that. So I'm hopeful that we should be able to overcome that. The second is the diversity of the people. We have 120 tribes, some of them big, some of them like mine, very small. I think we are close to 250,000 in a land of 42 million. So you can see the beauty of a country, of our country, that someone from a very small tribe can become president of the country and be supported by everybody else. So these are some of those compliments that we have for our country. But we have people of all races, subscribing to all religions. Hinduism is there, Muslim, Islam is there, Christianity is there. Well, there are many, in a few millions, who are yet to decide. Some people call them atheists. It's a bit derogatory. I usually say they are yet to be convinced which way to go. But now we have people from different political affiliations and persuasions. Because we were a one-party state, became a multi-party state, and thereafter we have a diversity. Now we have 19 registered political parties. You have only two. You can imagine the diversity we have. So at times there are frictions between the political parties. So again, holding the country together under such circumstances is itself a challenge of its own. So the issue has been that we should have political policies. That the overriding thing to me has been, let's have political policies that will ensure equal opportunity for every Tanzanian, no discrimination against anyone because of his tribe, race, religion, political affiliation, or which part of the union, or which part of the country he or she comes from. It has worked well in the past. We think it's the best policy for us to ensure that we continue that policy. And then the second thing which I found critical, again, was the issue of good governance. That a country has to be governed well. You know, in Africa, in the past, of course, I'm not sure now, some leaders used to complain, to think that, to be reminded of, please ensure that there's good governance. And it is good. But how do you govern a country badly? And when somebody says, please, govern well, and you think this person who is telling you to govern well is the bad man. And so I said, pursuit of good governance is a fundamental matter for me and for our administration. One, we have to ensure that we continue to entrench democracy. Economic growth thrives best where there is good governance. If there is democracy, if there is rule of law, there is respect for human rights, respect for basic freedoms, freedoms of expression, freedom of association, freedom of religion, and all where these basic freedoms are observed, things will always be good. Because we are doing that vibrantly. We have a very vibrant place. And I don't know how many daily newspapers we have. You need to have a big budget to be able to buy all of them. And all of them always speak about the government. They have not done this, they have not done that, they have not done that. Very free. Some say too free to a fault. But I've been saying we've just started opening up. We've just opened up. Some point somewhere, the water will find its own levels. We said government has to fight vices in society. Crime, corruption, narcotic drugs, money laundering, and so on and so forth. But in order to achieve this, definitely we have to concentrate on building the institutions of democracy, the institutions of governance. So what we've been doing is really to see what can we do to strengthen the judiciary, its independence and its capacity to deliver justice, to strengthen the parliament so that it can perform its role of oversight of government. I want to give you the assurance that we have an independent judiciary. No interference from government. We have a parliament that is always keeps government on its toes. When I opened parliament, I said, look, parliamentarians, you have got to be free. Tell the ministers, tell the government the truth. But make sure that what you are saying also is true. Don't use that freedom to tell lies or to be vindictive so that somebody you don't like use that freedom of being a member of parliament to make sure that you undermine him, ultimately he'll be removed. So I'm really happy. And then of course I emphasize the fact that government has to be able to collect revenues. So we embarked on a process of strengthening the revenue authority, our IRS. And we got a lot of support from IRS here to come and train our people. I remember at one time when I was foreign minister, my president was talking to President Clinton at that time in New York, asking about the services of IRS. I remember everybody in the Clinton team burst into laughter. And then President Clinton asked our president, President Mkapa, do you know why they're laughing? He says, I don't know. I think it was Gail Smith who said, well, they can take all of them to Tanzania. They can have all of them. And then President Clinton said, we don't like paying taxes here. But of course we found the beauty and of strengthening this institution, because you have to be able to pay for the services that you render to the people of the country. And we've done that successfully. Now, of course, when we came in, it was average 125 million billion Tanzanian shillings that we were collecting a month. Now we are close to 600 billion. We've succeeded in that one. But of course, then I said, this is a coin that has two sides. You increase collection of revenue, but there have got to be financial discipline in the expenditure of government revenues. And that's where we embarked on the process of strengthening the office, the National Audit Office. We've strengthened it. We came up with a new legislation, gave it great autonomy. Because here is a person who audits even the president's office. He audits parliament. He audits the judiciary. So if we don't give him the independence, he will have fears of saying the truth. That if I say that the president, there is bad expenditure at the president's office, he may have fears. Give him no fears. Or he says if parliamentarians are not spending their money well, and then he can be called to the committee the following morning and say, what did you say, young man? But we strengthened the legislation, gave this institution the greater independence, but also we did a lot of capacity building in the institution so that they'll be able to perform. Employed more people, built a lot of capacity, and they are doing a fantastic job. The last report, we had six of my ministers had to take political responsibility and resign because of the reports of the bad things that have been happening in their ministries. So I'm happy that at least we have built this institution. We've been working on the institution in the fight against corruption. We also have a new legislation, a stronger legislation. We broadened the scope of the crimes that would be deemed to be corrupt practices. We also built his capacity. And as a result of that, of course, we have now seen that even grand corruption is now being tackled. We have several of my former cabinet colleagues who are in court because of that. So we are seeing that at least this is something that I put a lot of emphasis on, that we should build the institutions of governance, the institutions of democracy, so that we'd be able to emerge at the end of the day as a country that is democratic, a country that is governed well. Of course, we have challenges. We're still at a very infantile stage. We're still a very young nation. We still have a lot to do. And of course, always our limitation has been the resource capacity to be able to achieve what we can achieve. Okay, thank you.
This is absolutely fascinating. My mic is on. I have a loud voice, but this is absolutely fascinating. I think that Dr. Hammer was saying this earlier, that that Washington has only just really woken up to the many successes in Africa, and Tanzania has really been such a great success story under your leadership and with the support of many friends and allies. I want to start by asking Mr. Yohannes a little bit about how the United States relationship has evolved and also the role of MCC in that. And I wanted to ask President Kikwete related to that, what you most value about the assistance that MCC is providing to your country. But Mr. Yohannes, please.
Thanks, Dan. Tanzania has been a very strong and close partner of the United States. And throughout the years, U.S. government, through the various development agencies, you know, USAID, MCC, and others, have provided millions and millions of dollars for development assistance to Tanzania. And Tanzanians have done an outstanding job in utilizing the resources to fight poverty, building the education system, building the health centers. Of course, through the Millennium Challenge Corporation, we are building the infrastructure of the country in partnership with Tanzania. So what I could say is they have been great partners, and they will continue to be great partners. Tanzania is still a low-income country, even though my own personal belief is in about 10 years, Tanzania would be a middle-income country under President Kikwete's leadership. right?
I have 1 or 3, yes.
Are you running again after this?
No.
But if you could, people would vote for you. There are many people in this audience who would vote for you, too.
I've played my part.
Absolutely.
I've done I'm on my second term. And 2015, the next elections, well, I'll be retired.
But we're on our way to becoming, Tanzania's on its way to becoming a middle-income country, as you're saying.
If it continues the way it is right now, which has been phenomenal. So it's been a great country, got a great story to tell. But, you know, it's just been wonderful. Of all the partners what we have, Tanzania has been a major performer of our program. So, again, it has to do with the leadership and support of President Kikwete. So we want to thank you, Mr. President, for all your leadership and support. But Tanzania is a great partner.
President Kikwete, I know that you had a threshold program for MCC that dealt with anti-corruption. You talked about that in your opening remarks. And you talked about the importance of good governance and the rule of law, and that sometimes perhaps there's too much freedom of the press. But you took the long view about that. Tell us a little bit about what you most value about the relationship with the Millennium Challenge Corporation.
The MCC is unique in our case because I've been a Minister of Finance at some point in the history of our country. And all the time you deal with donors, they become prescriptive. This is good for you.
Eat your vegetables, yeah. This sort of a thing, right?
They say, this is good for you. But with the MCC, it has been different. And that we have been asked to say what is good for us, that we want the United States government to support us. And we said, roads. And when I was making up the list of roads, I took those roads that every donor has always been refusing to support. They say, here's an opportunity, because we've been told to say what we think is good for us. And I put roads in the southern part of Tanzania where, but of course, these areas where, this is the granary. They produce almost all the corn that we eat in the country. 80% of the corn is produced by these regions. But whoever you talk to about a road there, they say the IRR and so on, how many roads are plying. I said, there are no, how many cars are plying that road? I said, because there are no cars because there is no road. Because if you to support us, build a road where and then you count the number of cars as the basis for the viability. He said, we want you to help us because this is an important area. There cannot be cars because there is no road. But when we are discussing this with the MCC, this has not been a factor. That we took the road from Namtumbo to Songea to Mbinga in southern Tanzania, and then we took the road from Tunduma to Sumbawanga in Rukwa region. And then we took the road from Tanga to Horohoro to the Kenyan border, then roads in Pemba. And then we say the other important thing for us is electricity. Distribution of electricity, because there are regions in the country, there are places in the country where there is no electricity. The power is there, but we need to take the power to them. So build the distribution lines in 6 regions, build a submarine cable to send power from the mainland to Zanzibar. Yeah, we are going to produce power at one of the rivers. And this has been stalled because of environmental impact assessment. And then we took the water. We raised the water issues. We are going to have a comprehensive support for towns around Lake Victoria. And of course, Dar es Salaam and Morogoro. Of course, later the money was scaled down. So we shared those towns along Lake Victoria. So we were able to get what we asked for.
It's incredible. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's this is the beauty of MCC, that you have the freedom to decide what you want. And then the United States decides what they can do in order to help you.
Well, this is a good moment to ask Mr. Yohannes then. We have a five-year compact with Tanzania. The compact ends next year. How are you thinking about either what comes next or how are you going to keep this momentum going? What are you thinking about in terms of from the MCC perspective about this?
Good. I mean, the bigger thing is we want to make sure that the investments that have been made by MCC are sustained for a very long time, because we want to make sure that the roads that have been built by MCC are there for the next 50, 100 years. So as part of the process, for example, we want to make sure that the country set aside some road maintenance fee, not only to take care of the roads that have been built by MCC, but also for the entire road infrastructure in the country. I know the president talked about energy, and we want to make sure, again, that what we've done is sustainable, and one of the best ways to do that is through major policy reforms, both the sector level, at the national level, and also to make sure to strengthen the institutions that monitor, regulate the utility companies, is to continue to make tariff adjustments so the power generators are able to recover their costs, and to make sure that Tanzania continues to create the best environment for businesses to succeed. Ultimately, we can only achieve prosperity through private-public partnership. It doesn't matter how much money is invested by development agencies. Ultimately, growth is going to happen by private-led companies. So the country continues to make sure that it is attractive for private sector investment. After all, you know, investment chases opportunities, and I'm sure that Tanzania is creating opportunities for businesses to succeed, not only within the country, but also to make sure that investments are coming from outside the country. And that's one of the best ways you could sustain the investment that have been made by MCC.
Fantastic. I want to call to the podium my friend and colleague, Ambassador Mark Green, who was former ambassador to Tanzania under President Bush and sits on the MCC board and was also present at the creation, helping to create MCC when he was in Congress. Ambassador Green, why don't you come up? And while he's making some remarks, you have index cards in front of you, and we are collecting questions from the audience. And so my friend and colleague here is going to be collecting them as Mr. Ambassador Green makes some comments. Thank you. Ambassador Green.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Shan. Mheshimiwa Rais, His Excellency, President Kikwete.
Just switch on the your mic.
My mic should be on.
Yeah.
And I also want to point out and welcome my good friend, Ambassador Majar, the ambassador of Tanzania to here in America. And, of course, President Yohannes of MCC, as always. Mr. President, welcome.
Thank you.
It is good to be with you again. I guess what I would like to do very quickly is to focus on a few things that have just been said that I think should be amplified. One of the things that makes, one of the features that makes the Millennium Challenge Corporation different than other aid programs is that we don't measure results just in terms of miles of highways built or miles of lines that are laid. Instead, we measure it by the strength of the friendship and the partnerships that emerge. And I can say that in Tanzania, we've seen nothing but great success. From the earliest days when the Threshold Program was underway, which was as I was coming in as ambassador, and saw the very serious approach that the government of Tanzania took in terms of fighting corruption and building greater transparency in budgeting, to the signing of the compact itself and the creation of MCA Tanzania, which is the Tanzanian entity institution that administers funds, we have seen tremendous partnerships emerge. People sometimes forget, in August of 1998, there was a terrible attack upon the American embassy in Dar es Salaam. Of course, there was in Nairobi as well. And I think at that time, extremists thought that they could break any friendship between our countries and perhaps chase America out of the region. Well, I think back to those days in 1998, and then almost precisely 10 years later, when I stood there witnessing the signing of the Millennium Challenge Compact between the United States of America and His Excellency, President Kikwete for Tanzania, I realized at that moment that the extremists had lost, because we saw a strengthened friendship, a strong, warm friendship aimed towards the future, and since then we've seen nothing but success. And I guess the final point I would make, President Kikwete very eloquently laid out some of the challenges that not just Tanzania is facing, but every country is facing during these challenging times. And the challenges that we see, they are complex. There's nothing easy about them. But every one of those challenges can be met with one single ingredient, and that is leadership. And I think that Tanzania is on the rise because we see that. We see good leadership that is taking on the challenges of the people and remembering how important good institutions and good governance are. And when you have that, there's no challenge that you cannot meet. Again, thank you for the great privilege of being here. And Mr. President, it's so good to see you again. Daniel Johannes, as always, it's good to be with you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for joining us on the table. Stay here.
We've got some questions from the audience. And let me take them. Why don't you sit here, Ambassador? Why don't you join us up here? We've got two housekeeping issues. He's handed lots of notes here, so let's see. Before I go into the Q&A, I just want to recognize our friends at Chevron who are with us. My friend Mamadou Bay is in the audience. Thanks, Mamadou, and we are very grateful for Chevron's support for the work we're doing at CSIS. And then when the president leaves in a few minutes, I'd ask that everyone remain seated while the president leaves. The security's asked us to do that, so if you can manage that, that would be very welcome and appreciated. Okay, so I've got a couple questions. I'm going to start with Mr. Johannes, but actually I may ask Ambassador Green to take a crack at this as well. Tanzania is a partnership for growth country. How does MCC work with Tanzania and other agencies in the Partnership for Growth initiative? Mr. Johannes.
Yeah. Tanzania is one of the four countries that have been selected to participate in the PFG program. What that means is we are using a model to do the constraint analysis and then to prioritize the investments based on which ones are going to provide the best return on the investment. And this is not only an MCC program, this is the entire U.S. government's program. So it is state, USAID, MCC, the Treasury, and everybody else. So we're looking as one U.S. government trying to understand working with the Tanzanians. So we've done some work. We've had about 20 people that have been involved in the last year, and I believe it has been identified that the real constraint to economic growth are power and energy, power, and transportation. And those concerns are being addressed through the first compact, but there still remains a lot of work, particularly in the policy reform area. But I think we're going to be signing pretty soon the joint agreement, very shortly. But so it's been a wonderful partnership, not only with MCC, but through PFG program.
Ambassador, you want to just comment on this issue of partnership for growth from your board perspective?
Sure. I think as Daniel said, the Millennium Challenge Compact itself has been a tremendous step forward in building the capacity of institutions. Partnership for Growth is an effort to build upon that and perhaps take it to the next level. It's also a clear recognition that the best way to help any country rise, including our own, is through economic growth, is through the private sector, and making sure that the conditions necessary for economic growth are created. MCC, clearly, that's the basis of the Millennium Challenge Compact and fits in very nicely with Partnership for Growth.
Okay, President Kikwete, I have a couple questions for you. A lot of questions from the audience about oil and gas discoveries. How are you going to manage? The question that everyone's asking is how are you going to manage this windfall of potential wealth that Tanzania may be about to experience? And how do you do it in a way that doesn't break up the union of Zanzibar and Tanganyika?
How are we going to manage this wealth? You know, one day somebody was asking me a question. What is your wish? I said, my wish is if I can get a revenue of $1 billion a month, I'll turn Tanzania into heaven. Because we'd be able to do all that we want to do. I want to do good roads. I want to do good schools. I want to build dispensaries and hospitals for our people. So, but of course, we're not used to so much wealth. I don't know how much it is, but this is what we are told, that there's a lot of gas there, and some thinking maybe there is oil. ExxonMobil is there with Statoil. I think they have made a discovery of, they drilled one well, and I think they have a substantial gas reserve. And if they build, they drill the other wells, they have a gas field, big gas field. Of course, one thing that we've been saying, and we have made the request to the U.S. government also to support. This is something very new to us. You know, we are used to selling coffee, cotton, now getting to deal with natural gas and huge reserves is something that we don't. So the first thing we have asked friends to help us build the capacities to know what is it, so that we don't get shortchanged. This is the first thing. And then, of course, when we get these huge resources, well, there is a lot of need for resources. As I was saying, I'm sure it will help us a lot. Well, we'll try as much as we can. Then the resources don't turn into a curse, so that instead of building the country, we are fighting for leadership, so that we get part of the revenues. Well, I hope we'll be wisdom will prevail, so that we don't take our country to that path.
One last question for you about Feed the Future, which is the agriculture program. Talk a little bit about this, the effectiveness of agricultural assistance for Tanzania. It's a big part of your economy.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'm here to attend the G8, and the theme is food security and nutrition. You know, I talked about governance and politics, democracy, but then of course we looked at the economic policies. One thing that I wanted to ensure is that, one, we continue with the path of economic reform. They started in 1986, and my promise has been we'll not renege on economic reforms. They have worked well for us, because prior to 1986, we were on the negative growth. Then after we embarked on economic reforms, diversity of the economy, introduced market economic policies, then the economy began to come back. So it has worked well for us. We said we might make sure that we continue with the path of economic reforms. But one of the areas that we said we should concentrate on is agriculture. 80% of Tanzanians live in the rural areas. They depend on agriculture for their livelihood. And this is where the majority of the poor are. So if any policies that are going to have any impact, significant impact against poverty, you have to deal to solve the agriculture question. It is peasant agriculture, low productivity, little use of science and technology, and therefore the people are poor, they earn little from that. So we have embarked on a comprehensive program, called Agricultural Sector Development Program, identified the constraints to agricultural growth, identified the remedial measures to resolve these constraints, and we've been working on that. So in this, we have role of our government. There is role of the smallholder farmer who is dominant. Later we discovered a deficit there. We left this program to be implemented by the government alone. We said we have to involve the private sector. We have a Tanzania National Business Council, which I chair. It's government and the business sitting together discussing issues of the economy and how best we can support the private sector. We formed a joint committee, but the purpose really was to how can the private sector participate in the agricultural transformation of our country. At the end of the day, then we came up with a blueprint we called Kilimo Kwanza. That's a Swahili word, but it means agriculture first. That's all it means. It defined the role of government and the local private sector. Later, I said, no, this is not enough. We have to involve the international private sector as well. So when we hosted the World Economic Forum in Dar es Salaam, I asked the president of WEF, Professor Klaus Schwab, that we should give agricultural transformation as one of the major themes for discussion. He agreed, we discussed, and we had a sideline meeting. And at this sideline meeting, we agreed jointly, now with government, the donors, the private sector international we brought in them there. And together, we said, OK, fine. I said, now let's work together. Let's come up with a blueprint. They asked me when. I said, this is May. February in Davos, we should have a blueprint. In February, we came up with that blueprint. We said, yeah, but in this exercise, we've got to be focused. We want to solve food security and nutrition issues. This is going to be the area of focus. And we said, in our country, we have 6 regions that always have good rains, good climate, good soils. But it is in the hands of peasant farmers. If we bring in bigger support to the smallholder farmer by government and the donors, but also if we bring in the private sector to come and participate, some of them to provide seeds. This is what we are doing with Monsanto, McGill, Syngenta. Some of them to provide fertilizers. This is what we are doing with Yara of Norway. And some of them, of course, can go there and involve in large-scale farming. You know, because some people are distorting this whole thing and say it's land grab. Monsanto is not doing land grab. They're just growing seeds for the farmer. It's not land grab. Yara is providing. And then, of course, we have others who are going to provide other services, financial services to farmers, and so on and so forth. So I was saying this in broader. But, of course, before this, then we had Feed the Future, also supporting us, supporting smallholder farmers, increase their productivity. And then we came up with this comprehensive program, we saw the Agricultural Growth Corridor, then a lot of the resources from Feed the Future is going to be concentrated. There is an American investor in the Kilombero Valley. He has 5,000 hectares. They're now producing 18,000 tons of rice. It's the largest single producer of rice in East Africa now.
Mr. President, I'm aware of your schedule. I want to honor your schedule, so I'm going to...
No, I have no problem with the schedule. This is very important.
Okay. Very good. That's good. I think this is very important, but I think we are very grateful that you've joined us today. I think I'm going to ask the audience to help join me in thanking President Kikwete.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.